But so all these things have been happening, attacks have been coming, but the Lord is still with us. And in Matthew chapter 16, that you asked me to turn to earlier, remember that? Matthew chapter 16, we know the Lord is with us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy that endures forever and ever and ever. Lord, I thank you this morning that I have a word of wisdom for us today. Lord, that comes from you, by you, and through you. Thank you for your holy written word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you for speaking to us, for leading us, for guiding us, and for directing us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hallelujah. The Lord is with us. Amen. Matthew 16, verse 13, says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's wanting their opinion about who he is. Jesus is asking his question. And they said, some say that you're John the Baptist. In other words, you're John, come back, you know. The other said, you're Elijah. That's what Elijah means. Or Jeremiah, you are one of the prophets. Elijah, John the Baptist, he was a prophet in his own way. Elijah was, Jeremiah, are one of the prophets. They think that's who you are. But he said unto them, but whom say you that I am? Who am I to you? And Simon Peter answered and said this, by revelation from heaven, because Jesus declares it was, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was the Christ. He was the one that was anointed to redeem the falling state of the human race from that place and raise them up and give them eternal life. That's who the Christ was. Peter recognized that. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, which is his name is Peter, but that's what he's calling him here. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee. He said, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, this is a revelation from heaven that you have about who I am. Peter had a revelation that this was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, the Savior of all humanity. Peter had that revelation. And look what Jesus said to him. And this is what I want to get down to. He said, and I say unto thee, he said, that thou art Peter. And upon this rock, the rock being that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the confession that Peter made, he was God manifested in the flesh because he was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. He said, Brother Randy, do you understand all of that? I don't have to. I believe it. Isn't that right? You don't have to figure it out. Just believe it. He was Emmanuel, God with us, God manifest in the flesh. In fact, he was asked, I believe, by Philip in John 14 one time. I believe it was Philip. He said, Lord, he said, show us the Father and it will be sufficient for us. Jesus responded to him, the disciple, and said, Philip, he said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How about that? Now, that boggles the human mind, but again, it can do all the boggling it wants to. I still believe it. Jesus is the Christ. He is God manifested in the flesh. He represented the Godhead in this earth, and everything that entails everything about God was in Jesus. Woo! He was God manifested in the flesh. So when you got Jesus, you've got God manifested in the flesh. When you're born again, then you believe in Jesus and He's on your side, you've got God on your side. And if you've got God on your side, you cannot fail. It don't matter about the cronies. The cronies, that's what Brother Bill Barbie called it. Remember at camp? He called it the cronies, the crony virus. He called it cronies. He was a country boy over there, you know. He called it cronies. He said, that cronies ain't going to get me. I said, what? He said, cronies.
That cronies ain't going to get me. So I started calling it cronies. You know, I thought that's pretty good. The China virus, Kung Fu virus, whatever they call it, you know. But at the same time, all of these things that are happening that affected the world, that affected our nation, that affected the nations, and it seems like affecting the church, and it seems like that the church has been attacked through this because, you know, the government puts these restrictions and then mayors put restrictions and state governors put restrictions and our meetings have been canceled because of restrictions, you know, and things. And that's why we're here at this particular facility in church this week, again, because of the governmental directions and laws that wouldn't allow us to do the meeting over there in Gatlinburg. So that's why we're here. And it would be a good opportunity for somebody to get discouraged and think that Jesus has fell off the throne and he's no longer God, that he's been demoted from Emmanuel, and what he says and what he used to do, he ain't no more. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ that I know is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I don't care what the devil's trying to do. He is not going to win in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church has got to stand on that. You've got to stand on that. I've got to stand on that. And I've got to believe that regardless of what hell, and I'm not cussing, but what hell comes our way, we've got to look it straight in the face and laugh at it in the name of Jesus. Dr. Chip was reminding me of this story that I'd heard back many years ago, and of course he had heard it too, about Dad Hagin. Dad Hagin was out on the road ministering, and Pastor Hagin, his son, called him. He said, "Dad, somebody broke in your house while you was gone and stole all your valuables and all that kind of stuff," because he was out on the road. And what was it that he said, Dr. Chip? He said, "I'm just going to stay here. Everything's going to be all right. I ain't going to worry a bit." Kept on preaching. Kept on doing what he's supposed to do. Why? Because he wouldn't move. Jesus did not lose his position in Dad Hagin's life because he had had opposition that come against him in his house. But I remember at the same time, they did take some precautions. You know, when you catch the devil, you do some things to stop him. In fact, and of course, I know Dr. Chip would know him, and I think his wife would know him. But anyway, they would know him for sure, and yeah, they would know him too. Is Pastor David Coker over in Carnesville, Georgia. He worked at Rhema at that time, and they built Dad Hagin secret closets in his house afterwards that had walls. There were false walls in big walk-in closet, and you'd have clothes, and you'd think that's all it was. But they had trim down the sides and a wall there, and if you just pushed on the side of it, had a little latch you had to release, and then that wall would just turn and you went into another room. Oh, I'm giving you some ideas now. I see you. You're going to build you one. But anyway, but that he actually helped build that wall. That preacher we know helped build. In fact, he called me yesterday on the phone. And I was trying to get him up here. But he called me. I was in the air way up there, you know. And he tried to call to heaven, but he couldn't get that high, you know. So he left me a voicemail. And when I got to Knoxville on the ground and got through with the mechanic people, you know, and all, they're going to check something. I called him back and sat there in the parking lot. He said, "Tell me what's going to happen." Anyway, that same preacher's want to help build these false walls in this house. In other words, they took precautions because Dad Hagin, undoubtedly somebody was watching him. You know, of course, he's gone to heaven now, you know. But somebody was watching him and kind of probably, you know, looking at his house and casing it, they call it in the criminal world, and then broken his house when they knew he was gone. But it didn't discourage him. The reason I told you about that, it didn't discourage him one bit. Can I tell you something else about him? He told stories, now I wasn't around during this time, but he told stories. He'd have, you know, had a special healing anointing where he would lay hands on people and supernatural miracles would happen. Jesus, he was caught up to heaven, and Jesus raised his finger in the right hand, his right and left hand in his palms. He gave him a special healing anointing. But he was actually in a healing line one day, going along praying for a lot of people in this big convention center. This is on back years ago. As he was going along, all of a sudden, a person fell dead in the healing line. Dead. Well, you know, it could cause somebody to lose faith. when you're in the healing line and they fall dead. Now, he hadn't prayed for them yet, you know. Maybe a good thing. But anyway, they fell dead. When he got there, he just walked around them and kept laying hands on other people. Because he said he could not allow that. It did not change the word. And of course, they weren't making fun of the person. They got helped, you know, and everything. But there was nothing he could do. But it did not stop him believing in healing just because somebody fell dead in the healing line. Isn't that right? Just because you have opposition, just because we have opposition, just because we have attacks like we've had on our nation, does not mean that we give up hope and say the Bible is not true. Jesus Christ is still alive. The Word of God is still true. And Jesus is still on the throne. He is Emmanuel, God with us. What we have to do is stand in the face of the storm and declare that God's Word is true and that we're coming out the other side regardless of what it looks like. The Bible says this, and a lot of people skip over these scriptures, you know. And I don't blame you. I try to myself. But he said, in this world you shall have tribulation. That's what Jesus said. You're going to have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, not chair. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Well, if he overcome the tribulation that he faced, then we can overcome the tribulation that we face, but we have to stand in faith just like he did. So he was the Son of God. But he said in verse 18, he said, I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, I'm emphasizing this, shall not prevail against it. The attacks of the enemy will not win, cannot win, against the born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot win. That's what the Bible says. And that's what we're supposed to believe. That's what we're supposed to stand on. The gates of hell shall not prevail against what? The church. Who's the church? You and I. It's not just this building and facilities. It's you and I. We are the church. We're born again believers, and the gates of hell will not prevail. It will not overcome. It will not take us out, and it cannot defeat us. It don't matter what the devil tries to do. And that doesn't mean that he won't create some kind of mess trying to get us distracted and trying to get us discouraged. But still, the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail, which means the devil cannot win against a Holy Ghost church. Cannot win. And that's what I've got to stand on. That's what I've got to believe. Even though all these things that I've encountered here in this year and these things that just recently happened about me coming to this meeting, I believe it's all related. I'll be honest with you. I believe it's all related. These distractions that the Lord told me about in January, because I have an opportunity to get distracted. You know what I mean? I mean, it's one of them times, you know, say, Lord, beam me up. You know, beam me up now, Lord. Just let the devil have the place. But no, we're not going to do that. Because we're not going to let the devil have it. Why? Because the gates of hell are not going to prevail against you. And they're not going to prevail against me. Because I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I mean, it may blow my hair crosswise. And the storm and I may howl. I mean, the lightning may pop. And the earth may quake. But when it comes through and all is over, I'm still going to be standing. I'll be right here when the morning comes. I'll be right here because I ain't going to run. Woo-hoo-hoo. Y'all remember that song about that haint? Ain't going to run me off. Oh, Reverend Charles Cowan used to bring that up. He's an old timer. But I know this. It's not a time to be discouraged. There seems to be discouragement and fear that's upon the nation. Upon people, but it should not be upon the church. It should not. In this sense, we need to encourage ourselves in the Word and believe what the Bible says. Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Verse 19, he said, I will give unto thee, he's talking to the church, not just directly to Peter, he's talking to the church. He said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
And whatsoever you will bind, or you shall bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth, shall be loosed in heaven. Now he said, I will give it unto thee. When did he give it? Through his shed blood, his death, his burial, and resurrection. So the keys of the kingdom have been given unto us. Isn't that what the Bible says? It says here, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. Has anybody here got any keys this morning in your pocket? Or in your wallet or your purse or whatever you got? You got any keys? What are those keys for? What do you do with a key? You unlock locks, don't you? Isn't that right? Well, he said he'd given us the keys that would unlock heaven. The things of heaven. He said, these keys, he said, when did he give them? They're already given. Through his shed blood, his death, and burial, and resurrection, Jesus has given us keys. And these keys are, what are the keys? The keys are whatever you bind on this earth will be bound by heaven. Heaven's going to back you up. Whatever you loose on this earth will be loosed by heaven. But it starts with me and it starts with you. Isn't that right? So I could get discouraged about the things that I have faced just in the last few days. I mean, you could imagine the opposition. And of course, Brother Bill even knows more opposition with the airplane I went through. Because I just got it out of the shop, and Miss Trudy knows about it. But I got it out of the shop, you know, and the things wasn't doing just right. And this thing is only one of 50 in the world that has this particular, what they call supercharger. You heard of Superman? Well, we got a supercharger on the airplane. It's one of 50 in the world, I found out. And so very few people know about this system. And, of course, the system itself is performing greatly, but it affected other aspects of my engine, one aspect of my engine, that we couldn't get solved just right, you know. But I think we're close, Brother Bill. I ain't had time to tell you, but I think we're close now to it. You just have to turn the oil pressure up a lot more than you normally would because we've got a remote oil filter now. It's not attached to the engine. It's sitting over here with lines running to it. Now, that's my deal, but it's sitting up there in Knoxville, and they got manual gauges they're going to put on this thing, and they can tell exactly what's happening in that oil pressure. But anyway, I went through all that. Then all this starting a swimming pool in the house. You know you need one inside and outside if you're going to do it and do it right. So you got a swimming pool outside, swimming pool inside, and all this opposition that's coming in. Chris that's coming in the truck, he bought a house about, what was it, 3 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago. Anyway, they moved him in, and I got him in that night. I was over there talking to him, you know. And then that night, it come one of those frog stranglers. Y'all know what a frog strangler is in Tennessee. I mean, a gully washer. I mean, it was raining, as they say, cats and dogs. And it was a lightning storm on top of all this. And it come down from my house, Owasso. I'm on the north side of Tulsa. And he was on the south side, southeast side of Tulsa. And all of a sudden, I got a call from Chris in the evening, about 9 o'clock, I guess. And I was shocked because he knows I go to bed early because I get up early. I'm the one that sets the rooster on the post to wake you up. You know what I mean? But I got a call from Chris, and I immediately answered it. And he said, my house is on fire. I said, what? Your house is on fire? I said, I'm coming. And I jumped in my truck, and it was flooded. I mean, they had 18-wheelers. Raining so hard, the 18-wheelers were stopped on the interstate because they could not see where they were going. That's how bad. And so I'm in this big diesel truck, and I'm working across this way and down this hill and holler and all that kind of stuff, and I'm high enough off the ground so I can get through these puddles and water and all that stuff. And I got down to his house, and sure enough, there's fire department everywhere, and I had to park around the block and walk in there and all this rain. Got up there and found him at the neighbor's house, and sure enough, on all its glory, his house. He had just moved in that day. They had just set the furniture, and they were just trying to get into bed with all the boxes still sitting around, and lightning hit a tree beside his house, as the fire department said. It run down that tree, hit the house, and caught the house on fire. And then they come in there and blowed water everywhere. Boom, boom. And so now, I said, Chris, I teased him about it. I was doing it the other day. I said, Chris, you like Jesus? He said, I am? I said, yeah. He said, how? I said, you don't have nowhere to lay your head.
At least you like Jesus, you know what I mean? Nowhere to lay his head. And of course, now they got him into insurance. You know, it wound up being, I think, $117,000 worth of damage to this house. Never got to sleep in it one night at all. And so he's out. So he has this attack. So I told him this morning, because I was talking to him. He said, you know, I got up early and he's on the road because it takes a while to get here, you know. And I said, Chris, that house demon that you had over there at your house, I said, you can have him back. I don't want him in my house. Because this house demon didn't come to my house. I mean, who ever heard of a doggone washing machine pumping water out and would not even be in own? This is supernatural. Our natural super. Our spooky natural or something. Not just once, but twice. This is this highfalutin stuff too, I'm telling you. Whew. So I had a great opportunity to believe that I didn't have the keys of the kingdom. Had a great opportunity to believe that it's not working for me. And that's what the devil wants me to believe. That's what the devil wants you to believe. Because he wants to throw up roadblocks. He wants to throw up distractions in our life and make us believe that God has forgotten about us, that he's not on our side. How are you going to get through all this mess? How are you going to take care of all this mess? How are you going to do all these things? You know what I'm going to do? I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Oh, I've got a feeling everything's going to be all right. Be all right, be all right. Woo, I'm ready to go on the road now. My God, I'm telling you, I've got a feeling. What I mean is this, the feeling I've got is that the Word of God is true. And I know regardless of what I face, regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what our country's facing, regardless of what our government is facing, regardless of what President Trump is facing, and our parties are facing, our governments are facing, our economy's facing, Jesus Christ is still alive. He's still the Son of God, and he's given to us the keys of the kingdom of God. And whatever I bind on this earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on this earth will be loosed in heaven. And that's what I've got to believe. And I've got to stand on it. And I've got to act on that word. So I bind those devils in the name of Jesus and command you to take your hands off and loose and let go in Jesus' name. That's taking authority. Heaven backs me up. It's not who I am. It's who He is. He delegated me this authority. He gave me the keys, which is delegated authority. I have the right to unlock or lock something. Isn't that right? Because you told me that's what keys do. He said, I've given to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What are those keys? Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Heaven backs you up. Whatever you loose on this earth and let and permit on this earth, heaven will back you up. Isn't that right? That's having the keys. So when you go through storms, and the storms of life are going to come. We found that out. I'm telling you. And I'm going to be sharing some things that are a conference that we have here, a Word and Spirit meeting that we'll be having this Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, because a lot of preachers will be coming in, you know. I'm going to be sharing some things about this in much more detail. In fact, as Dr. Chip has said, I'm going to be a different creature probably than you've seen before unless you've been in our meetings, because it's just the way the Lord uses us in different situations as to what we're going to say. But we're going to deal with these issues about the whys, the wherefores, where it come from, why it's happening, and what to do about stopping this and turning it around in the name of Jesus. All this mess that's happening, coronavirus, kung fu virus, China virus, whatever you call it, we're going to stop it in the name of Jesus Christ. The storms of life may come, but what we use is we use our spiritual authority. So instead of getting discouraged about things that I've faced, about things that have happened, you know, I have to practice what I preach. Isn't that awful? Can't I just preach it and not have to live it? No, I have to live it just like you. I have to be happy just like you. You know, when I got the thing, I mean, it was flooding twice, was bad enough in a brand new home when the thing broke, you know. But then the air conditioning system in a brand new home failing. You know. And it looks like, what are you going to do? Count it all joy. Joy, joy. Joy, joy, joy.
Why? Because I'm going to trust God. I guess I'll have to join the ranks of Chris. I'm going to be like Jesus. Have nowhere to lay my head. How about that? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to show you how this works now. We've been hollering and yelling and beating around about it and screaming about it, but let's just see an example of the Word of God of how to apply this in our life. And Jesus is an example for us, isn't that right? And we can find that the church of Jesus' day was all in the same boat with Him, and you'll see as we read about the storm, which you're familiar with. You've probably been heard it so many times. You've probably been hearing this story since you was knee-high to a grasshopper jumping ditches with soda crackers. You know what that is? Knee-high to a grasshopper jumping ditches with soda crackers. Do they still make soda crackers? I call them saltines now. We used to call them soda crackers. I don't know what the proper name is, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. We used to come to the door and Mama would give us a cracker. Get back out in that yard. I'm cleaning the house now. Our granny woman, we didn't want to get to Grand Granny's house too much because she used to wash clothes in a, and the way she'd do it, she'd get one of them big old black kettles. Y'all remember them? And she'd boil them clothes out there in that kettle. Does anybody know about that kind of stuff? I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I mean, she kind of graduated later on. We got talked her into getting a wringer washer. Y'all remember the wringers? Remember you catch your finger, that thing would, you get it going, that clothes going through there, it'd wash down here and you had to take it and run it through that wringer up there. And I know I can see some of these younger folks wondering, what in the world? You're talking about a wringer washer. Well, you probably see some of these antique stores around here, but anyway, it washed in the tub and then you took the clothes out and you run it through this little roller thing and it wrung the water out. They call it a wringer washer, you know? So you may feel like you've been through the wringer, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is still on the throne. You're not washed out. You're not washed up. And it's not over. In fact, I'll just tell you the truth. It's going to turn out better in the end than it was in the beginning. You say, well, Brother Randy, are you prophesying? I sure am. I'm saying that by the Spirit of God. It's going to turn out better in the end than it was before it all started. I said, God is going to be glorified through it all. God's been trying to get people's attention for a long time. I'm telling you, you've been trying to get people's attention. Finally, some people are trying to pay attention and listen to what God is saying. But in Mark chapter 4, a good example here, verse number 36, it says, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, this is the disciples, and this is Jesus. He had been speaking, ministering, preaching at a meeting out there. And then they were sent the multitude away, the people, said, the meeting's over now, y'all go home. They took him, Jesus, into the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Notice there was other ships that was going along with him because they didn't want to let Jesus out of their sight. And look at verse 37. It says, there arose a great storm of wind. Say, great storm. How come it couldn't have been a little bitty thing? How come it's got to be great? How come it's got to be gigantic? How come it's got to be so big and so bad? But notice this was a great storm. It wasn't no little bitty thing. I mean, this is the one that can sink the boat. This is the one that can drown everybody if you can't swim to shore. I mean, this storm is the big one. Not the little one. This was the big one. Remember, there was a movie on one time, I mean, years ago, I don't know whatever happened to it, that had a storm so big it was slinging cows around in the sky. Tornado, a hurricane or something, y'all. I don't know what they call that thing, but I remember seeing it. And I seen cows flying in the sky. Of course, it was TV, you know. But there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Well, the wind was so boisterous and blowing so hard that it blew the water so much that it created waves so high that the edges or sides of the boat were not deep enough to keep the water from coming in it. So the water was being pushed into the boat, and it didn't matter what kind of pink worm can or night crawler can that you had to dip the water out with, fish bait bucket, you know, to dip the water out with, you couldn't stay ahead of the waves because them waves were just pumping it in there.
blowing it into this boat. And here they are, according to this scripture, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Now, notice this. They had just come from a church meeting. They had just come from witnessing miracles. They had just come from where Jesus was demonstrating the Father to them and how the Spirit of God, the Spirit of living God, would work to heal people. No doubt, He was telling them about their authority, what they could do. No doubt. They had faith in God and what it would do to change people's lives. So here they are, though, once they coming out of the church meeting, once they'd heard all this wonderful message about what God is and what God can do, demonstrated before them, then here they are. Jesus Himself, too, is in the ship, right? And the disciples. Then a great storm comes. Listen, you would think that if it's Jesus is in the boat, then certainly He wouldn't have a storm. There wouldn't be no tribulation or nothing like that. But Jesus never said that we would not have tribulation. He said, in this world, you shall have tribulation. Did Jesus encounter tribulation here? Did the disciples encounter tribulation? Yes. Did a great storm come to try to stop them? Yes. Did great opposition come? Did great attacks come? So we can know this, that it wasn't God trying to stop Jesus, because Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. So we know this storm had to come from the devil. Isn't that right? The devil whipped it up. He whipped up natural phenomenon, which is the weather systems and weather patterns, and got all the atmosphere just right. The devil worked these things to try to bring discouragement and try to kill Jesus in this boat, to try to kill the disciples. And that's all this corona stuff that's going on around here. The enemy has stirred it up, trying to kill folks, but we're standing against him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we got authority. So here they were, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now what? Full. Full. What does that mean? What does full mean? Huh? So the boat is going under. Because the boat, I think Dr. Chip, he's the engineer here, you know. But I did build a boat. I have built one. I did. I built a boat by my bicep. By my bicep. You know what I mean? And that thing floated when I got through with it. In fact, my mother-in-law rode in it. That's how much, and she couldn't swim. She had this phobia about water. She wouldn't, you know, but she got in that boat. But it floated, done everything. It had a captain's directives, you know. When I was rigging up the steering on it for the engine in the back, I rigged it wrong when I first, you know, built it, because I'd never done it before. I'm figuring this out. I'm not a real engineer. I'm learning. You know, he was a real engineer here, Dr. Chip. So when you turn the boat to the right, when I first got it going, it would go left. You turned it left, it'd go right. You had to wind that thing. You know what I mean? You had to wind it just right. You had to get one going this way and one going that way. And it's just the opposite of what your brain thinks. But all I've done is got under it and I unwound it and wound it back up. Now when you turn it, it goes. So I did build a boat, and it would float. I mean, it did good for many, many years at this boat. I mean, a big one, too. This thing was 22 feet long. Woo! But this boat right here was filled with water. Isn't that right? So this water, this boat is designed to displace, keep it floating with so much volume in it, it would float with so much weight in it. But when it got too much weight in it, then the boat would sink because it didn't have enough buoyancy, I guess that's the way to say it, to keep it afloat. So if it's filled with water, what's going to happen? It's going to sink eventually, unless you've got styrofoam tied off like it's a lot of these new boats. It's hard to get them to sink in fiberglass because they got styrofoam up under that floats, you know, inside the, helms and all that, and the boats, and a lot of them bass boats and things. You probably almost couldn't get them to go under unless you broke them in half because of the way they built. But in this day, they didn't have all that highfalutin stuff. So if this water is filling the ship and it says it's now filled with water, full of water, what is full? That means it's full. When it's full, that means it's full. I said, when it's full, that means it's doggone full. So this boat is going under. All this time, let's look at what's going on the ship and see the part that we should play. Because the storm's coming. Now, this is Jesus. This is disciples. And you would think if this is Jesus and this is his disciples, they would never have a test or trial. But you see, they had one. But look at verse 38. It speaks of Jesus said, and he, Jesus, that's what he's talking about, was in the hinder or the back part of the ship, what? Asleep on a what? Pillow. He was asleep on a pillow. Now, I know that man. What's that man on TV that advertises in pillows? My Pillow. I know it would be wonderful for Jesus to have My Pillow, but it wasn't My Pillow that he was laying his head on. And I know that Tempur-Pedic pillow would be wonderful for Jesus to have in his day, but it wasn't Tempur-Pedic that Jesus was laying his head on. And I know it wasn't softy mattress pillow, even though it would be nice for Jesus to lay his head on in the boat. That wasn't the pillow. So your question is, you couldn't wait to get here to ask me this question this morning. You said, when I get there, I'm going to ask him. What's the name of the pillow that Jesus was sleeping on? Who made it? Was it My Pillow? No, it was the pillow of faith. When Jesus laid his head down, he was not worried. He was not afraid. There was no fear. He wasn't scared of nothing. He went to sleep. The only way you can go to sleep is to go to sleep on the pillow of faith. He was laying his head there. The boat's sinking. What's he doing? Sleeping. Listen, if the wind is boisterous and the waves are so high that it's blowing the waves into the boat, filling it up. Don't you know that the boat was rocking and rolling? In fact, Jerry Lee Lewis, if he'd have been around, he'd have been singing this song. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. I know y'all. But anyway, whole lot of shaking. Y'all remember that? Jerry Lee Lewis, he could play the piano with his feet. Jimmy Swaggart's cousin. Yeah, Jimmy Swaggart's cousin. Jerry Lee Lewis. A whole lot of shaking going on. And that boat had to be shaking. You ever been out on a boat and the wind come up, a storm come up? I mean, a good one. And this thing's all right. And then the water's coming into the boat, so you know some of it's got to be getting on Jesus. And Jesus, there's something wrong with him. No shaking ain't waking him up. He said he was asleep. You know what asleep means? He might have been sawing some logs like y'all do. Snoring. I don't know. He was a human being, but he was asleep on a pillow. Because he was asleep not on My Pillow, our Tempur-Pedic pillow. He was asleep on the pillow of faith. When he laid his head down, he was completely confident that God was with him and on his side. He had already made the decision that they were going to the other side, and that's what they were going to do. Regardless of what, didn't say that tribulation and storms wouldn't come, because they did come, isn't that right? And they've come to us. They've come to our nation. They've come to you. Challenges have come to businesses and all kinds of stuff in a lot of places. But God is still alive. So the water's coming into the boat. The boat's shaking all over the place, but Jesus is asleep. He's so deeply asleep that it says here, verse 38, he was in the hinder part, or back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him, and they had to do what? Awake him. They had to wake him up. They had to wake him up. Now, if it had been you or I, we'd have already been awake. But he was asleep. The boat shaking and turning and filling with water, and the wind blowing. My God, it's filling up. We're sinking. We'd have been doing something. We'd have had the pink worm cup or something, dipping water out of the boat. But here Jesus is asleep to the point they had to actually wake him up. Notice the storm did not move Jesus. The wind did not move Jesus. The waves did not move Jesus. In other words, conditions didn't move him. He was not moved by what he saw. He was moved by what he believed. Isn't that right? So he wasn't moved by the conditions or the surroundings he was in. But today, if you don't watch it, you can get moved. You can get in fear. You can get discouraged because of what you see. And I know it's easy to do because it's all around us. And I'm not putting anybody down, but I'm just here to tell you there's something higher. We can get on the pillow of faith. They woke him up. They awoke him. And said unto him, Master, you care not that we perish? In other words, we're out here dying. And you're sleeping. There's a difference between Jesus and his faith and the disciples' faith. He said, how do you know? Because they said what was going to happen to them. We're going to perish. Jesus already went to sleep. He wasn't going to perish. He's going to sleep. So you can see here that the disciples, their faith was in the fact that they were going to die. Perish means die. Isn't that right? You don't care that we're going to die out here? I mean, what's wrong with you? You out of your doggone mind, you know? I mean, that's what we think. Jesus is asleep on the pillow. Remember, the boat's about to turn over, filling up, about to sink. And the wind bouncing the boat everywhere around. They had no control over what was going on because the storm was so great. It was a great storm, isn't that right? Great storm. Jesus arose when they woke him up. He arose. And then he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great what? Say, great calm. Verse 37 said a great what? Great storm, isn't that right? There arose a great what? Storm. And then in verse 39, the last two words is what? Great calm. Every great storm can be turned into a great calm with faith. That's what Jesus did. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you in this position? So he rebuked them. He's kind of getting on to them in a way. Understand? He was telling them, you could have done the same thing that I've done. He's already said in Matthew 16, I'll give to you what? The keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Did Jesus demonstrate that right here? Did he demonstrate it? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you those same keys belong to you today. They belong to me today. Even though there's opposition around you and there's much opportunity to fear, there's much opportunity to doubt, there's much opportunity to get distracted from the Word with the things that are happening around us and think that the Bible is not true and that Jesus no longer cares about us and the Word of God is not true, I'm here to tell you the Word of God is true. And Jesus is still on the throne and it belongs to you and it belongs to I. I would encourage you. Take these scriptures that we've read today, just a very few, and just read them to yourself and think about them and meditate on them. Get them down into your spirit because that's what helps you. I mean, just acting out of your head doesn't get results. But when you act out of your spirit or your heart, not your flesh and blood heart, but your human spirit, I'll guarantee you, you're going to get results every single time. Faith comes from hearing God's Word. So take the scriptures in Matthew 16. Take the scriptures here in Mark chapter 4. And don't let this be the last time that you've looked at them or meditated on them. You think about those things. Jesus meant what he said. Has the Bible changed since Jesus said that? No. Is it still just the same today as it's ever been? Yes. Will it still work for us today just like Jesus said it would in that day? Yes. There's nobody that's made the Bible obsolete yet that I know of. There's people that's tried to, but it still works today just like it did yesterday. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So all we've got to do is be discouraged and encouraged in this day. So the storms that may have been coming to you in your life, the storms that may have been coming against me in my life, I'm here to tell you, we're going to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Just stand to your feet. I'm just going to pray for you right there where you're at. Let's believe God together. Isn't that right? Now let's rebuke these storms, whatever it may be. It may be a sickness you're dealing with. It may be finances you're dealing with. Maybe a situation you're dealing with, family situations, maybe whatever you're dealing with. Let's just take authority over this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that right? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you said whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on this earth is loosed in heaven. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over all the opposition that has come these people's way. And Father, I bind it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I bind a spirit of fear that tries to attack their minds. And I say in the name of Jesus to all these things, peace be still right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I invoke healing from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And I thank you that every joint, every tissue, every muscle, every nerve, every cell in their body will function correctly in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, I thank you for the anointing of God and a refreshing and a quickening to come upon them today. Lord, that so they can understand that you're still on the throne. And Father, I thank you for the anointing of God that is released in Jesus' name. And we bind every demonic force and command you to stop your maneuvers now. Take your hands off, loose, and let go. In Jesus' name. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we release the angels of God, the Spirit of the living God, to move in behalf of everybody here today. And Father, we give you the glory, the honor, and praise for it all. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Glory to God, I have preached myself happy. I don't know about you.